Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
Today on Across the ASEAN, we head back to the region's largest economy and most populous nation, Indonesia. And the last few weeks have not been the smoothest for the nation, with the Jakarta Composite now slightly in the red for 2019. And hopes of an interim trade deal, though, between the U.S. and China is keeping a small spark of hope alive for markets today. But will this be enough to help markets in Jakarta recover towards the year end? Well, today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined once more by Sukor Invest Asset Management's CEO and Chief Investment Officer, Mr. Jemmy Paul Wawuintana, to take stock of what markets are looking like at the tail end of 2019 in Jakarta. Mr. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. I understand you're in Surabaya today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, JP. Nice to hear from you.
Yes, nice to hear from you again, sir. And in a very interesting and apt time to look at the Indonesian market today. As we noted, the Jakarta Composite has been on a bit of a slide or a bit of a downward pattern in the last couple of weeks. Recent trade figures released also not too encouraging. Now, there are signs of a partial trade deal between the U.S. and China possibly being signed by next month. Do you think this might help soothe economic expectations and investor sentiment, especially for a country like Indonesia?
Yeah, before we think the impact of the trade war is not going to be felt around here in Indonesia, but if we look at the especially export data, that the slowing economy of our destination countries, is, I think pretty sure shows that it will affect Indonesia, at least for the trade data to impact our GDP to be weakened more.
Okay. The other thing we've noticed, Mr. Wintana, also is that foreign investors seem to have been shying away from Indonesian stocks in the last couple of weeks. However, when you look at the fixed income space, they've been a bit more active in taking in Indonesian bonds. Now, I know that there is a bit of a search for yields right now because the expectation is that interest rates might be coming down in the near future. Do you think this is why bond markets in Indonesia have been getting more attention vis-a-vis as compared to, say, their equity counterparts? And why do you think Indonesian bonds are being seen as more attractive in the emerging market space in the search for yield?
First of all, I think the gap is quite large. If you see our 10-year bonds yielding is now around 7% compared to like the developed nation. Some of them even go to negative yield. So I think it's pretty popular here. People also who's not living abroad, but they invest a lot in here, they keep their money here. So they're buying Indonesian bonds instead of they're buying dollars. So, well, if you see the rupiah is quite strong. If you see for the last 5 to 6 months, and it hovers around 14,000, and people think that it's time to buy the bonds again, Indonesian bonds. So that's what happened in our bonds market, I think. But in terms of the equity market, people is now shying away. I think it's because the outlook of the listed companies in Indonesia, their third quarter result is not very good, and also we have some upcoming rebalance of an index fund over the world, that which we could see Indonesian portion being lower. So I think that's the reason some of outflow from the foreigner from Indonesian equity market.
Now, that's what the foreigners think, Mr. Wawuintana. But based on what Sukor Invest is looking at the moment, how is this affecting the balance of your portfolios at the moment? Are you guys favoring equities, or are you favoring fixed income over equities as well moving forward? Or has there been no change in your outlook for Indonesian markets and your allocations across asset classes?
Well, actually, right now, our equity market is trading, I think, around 1 to 2 minus standard deviation across history, like 5 to 10 years from now. So it's a very good timing to enter equity market, which is our fund also overweight on the asset class. So we believe that the upside from the equity market is bigger than the bonds market, even though we think the bonds market will still have upside until the end of the year. So that's what our current position.
All right. So we're slipping to Mr. Jemmy Paul Wawuintana. He's the Chief Investment Officer and CEO of Sukor Invest Asset Management. Mr. Wawuintana, we know that government spending is still a big hallmark of the Jokowi administration, as well as these structural reforms and efforts also introduced by the administration to try and lower taxes. Can you tell us how tricky or complicated is this going to be for Indonesia to balance these lower taxes against also maintaining the big budget that you have, and also the opportunities and risks if Indonesia gets it right or wrong?
Yeah, I think the current administration now realized that they cannot rely on the budget. So if you see the trend of budget for infrastructure, it's not going up like the previous year. So that will leave our government to focus more on attracting more investment. Either it's for foreign direct investment or direct investment from the private sector. So that's what they're trying to do. And I think there are some policies which is they're trying to make, like for the manufacturing or the mining sector, they're trying to do more manufacture focus on the industry in Indonesia.
Okay. Speaking of reforms, Mr. Ointana, the government is still looking to try to reform the mining sector. It almost seems like a repeat of 2013, 2014, when there were restrictions on iron ore shipments or ore shipments generally, to try and bolster some of these manufacturing jobs or higher up in the value chain for Indonesia also. And there are talks of possibly restricting these yet again. How is this shaping your outlook in the mining sector? And do you think that this round, or the renewed possible ban on these ore exports, could you think this will actually work this time around to help bring about those reforms that the Jokowi administration is looking for?
The major obstacle to become a manufacturing company is how to make the people who is dependently on the mining sector not to think that they can have money from the sector. So they have to think about the manufacturing base could help. I think it will unlock the ore in Indonesia, like nickel, iron ore, and others. So maybe in the short term, it will sacrifice the mining sector. The growth will be slow, even will be minus if the ban is coming in. But I think in the long run, the manufacturing sector will be benefit. And like I speak before with the CEO of Mine ID, it's the holding of mining SOE companies in Indonesia. He said that for one ore, it could unlock value for like 10 times if you sell it in a manufacturing product. So that's what's happening. They're trying to do in Indonesia now.
Let's look at another commodity space now, Mr. Wawintana, and also look at the palm oil space. We did receive reports that the government has ruled 20% of palm plantations might actually be illegal, but there's also a lot of reforms and challenges that the palm oil space has faced. What is the outlook from Sukor Invest on the palm oil sector and also producers which are listed in Indonesia, as well as those, say, in Singapore, such as the likes of Golden Agri?
Yeah, I think it's true, but I think 20% is illegal, but it will not evict the little companies in Indonesia and Singapore, because I think most of the illegal is privately held companies and the small, medium companies, which is not listed in the IDX or SGX. So I think it will not affect a lot. But in fact, it will help the image of the credibility of the palm oil sector if they can clamp down the illegal palm oil. And I think many of our government effort, like introducing B20 and then B30, I think will help a lot the industry. So there will be a lot bright future, I think, for the industry.
So the 2020 might be a better year for palm oil producers. Is that the outlook?
Yeah, from what I heard, that it's going to be increased like almost 20% of usage in palm oil for the biodiesel in Indonesia. So that will help the demand a lot. So it might help the price to go up.
Okay. And finally, Mr. Wawintana, I know you're busy today. Before we let you go, I'd like to take a look once again at the rupiah. We have seen it also react to all these developments in the macro space and also these export figures in Indonesia. Does Sukor Invest have a year-end outlook for where the rupiah might be heading, and how might this influence, say, the equity space and the asset classes for fixed income there?
Okay. We're targeting the rupiah to be stable around 14,000. It might strength a bit from right now, trading at 14,100. But I think the company itself, like BI, our banks, will not let the rupiah to be strong much further. So I think 14,000 would be our base. And then we are assuming JCI to reach 16,700 by the end of the year. So we still have like 10% upside from now. We believe the third quarter will be much better than the market perception. And the yield bond for 10 years, we are expecting for 6.9%. So still upside like 3 to 4% from now.
All right. So keeping the faith in both equities and fixed income out in Indonesia. We'll have to leave it there. Yes. Mr. Jemmy Paul Wawintana, the CEO and Chief Investment Officer of Sukor Invest Asset Management. Thank you so much for joining us once again this afternoon on Across the ASEAN.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.